Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice Tuesday. We are your sportsmen.
Asada.
I'm Rob. Hi.
Asada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
We have Schultzy here.
Very happy to be here.
We're going to have fun with Dan Lanning audio in our next segment.
That is fun.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
We also have fun with other sports audio coming up. So if you like audio, you came to the right place.
Well, we've already given you the Miami Vice and Baywatch theme song and Dan Lanning audio. I mean, come on. You owe us extra for that.
High production day, baby.
Yeah.
We do take tips.
I don't think we can.
Actually, on YouTube.
You can tip on YouTube? I'm going to do an OnlyFans.
Yeah, you can do memberships on YouTube. We can start a... like 105 One the Fan Patreon that you just put like a seriously, you could put like a 105 the One like Venmo QR code out there.
I'm gonna start doing a tip thing. And if you like what I did on a show, I'm gonna ask for a buck. We'll see what happens. And then I'll host the end of the year, I'll host a listener like party. Whatever money we raise, I'll go blow it on a bar tab at Jerry's. Anyone that wants to show up, we can drink for the amount that we've accrued over the year.
Well, we've got the rankings, the college football playoff rankings, and I'll spare you the rankings and I'll just give you the bracket. That's way more fun.
Okay.
So now it has shifted. So next week we get one more rankings, I think, and then they put out the final one on December 7th.
Yes.
After the championships. So now we've got Tulane as the 12 seed, taking on 5 seed Texas Tech in Lubbock. The winner of that would play Georgia. Then we have 9 seed Notre Dame traveling to 8 seed Oklahoma.
That's a rock fight and a half.
With the winner of that playing Ohio State.
Yeah.
Now, here's where it has shifted. Alabama is the 10 seed still. They were last week.
Yep.
But they were playing at Oregon. This week they are playing at Ole Miss, the 7 seed. And the winner of that would play Indiana. And Oregon has moved up to 6. And right now they have them playing Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes at Autzen.
But what's interesting here is...
the winner, by the way, would play Texas A&M.
So that's actually not a bad path for Oregon.
Way better path.
It is almost an impossibility that can stay.
Well, I don't think Miami is going.
Well, no. Miami is going to get the heave.
So the 11 seed is going to most likely be the ACC champ.
Yeah.
And that's an even easier game.
You want to be the 6 seed. If you're Oregon, stay right where you're at.
Because you know what I think is going to happen? Well, maybe not. What I was going to say is, yes, I don't think Miami... I mean, there's an outside chance Miami makes it.
The things that have to happen... Have you seen the scenarios for Miami to even make the ACC title game? It's brutal.
Well, they've already got one of them checked off because Pittsburgh beat Georgia Tech. But I'm just saying, right now they only have Miami in there because of the highest ranked ACC team.
But they will most likely not play in the ACC title game.
Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
Here on the Sports Talk radio show that we host here on The Fan in Portland. I think it's kind of crappy that Oregon, and this is not coming from an Oregon fan, mm-hmm. because I want to see them play Alabama. I want to see them play Notre Dame. Yeah. I want to see them play Mario Cristobal in Miami. I would love to see any of those games at Autzen Stadium. I think it would be epic. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of crappy that they may host freaking Virginia.
So more than likely, if everything were to stay put, you would get SMU or you would get Virginia.
Get out of here.
But
that's an easier game. I get it. If you're a Duck fan, you're probably rooting for that. I'm just saying, as just a fan, mm-hmm. I want to see Autzen getting Kalen DeBoer in Alabama.
Well, the last couple weeks we had DeBoer or we had Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame, and those are like...
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. Alabama, Notre Dame, or Miami. Yeah. Any of those three I think would be epic, because Miami's really good, and it's the Cristobal thing.
Yep.
But Virginia or SMU?
Although, you know, that's as far as the path goes...
Yeah, but I don't think A&M is going to stay three.
Probably not.
That's the thing. I am of the opinion that Texas is going to beat Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and I don't think Texas A&M will be the three seed. Who will it be? It will be whoever wins. No, actually, the three seed is most likely going to be whoever loses the SEC title game or the Big Ten title game.
Yes.
It very well could be Indiana right there.
Well, it very well could be Ohio State.
If they lose. But see, I think they beat Indy. I'm just going off of what. Yeah, I think Ohio State beats Indiana, mm-hmm. and they are the one. Whoever wins the SEC is likely the two. Mm-hmm. And the three is, you know, I guess maybe A&M, because if A&M has a one loss, they don't play in the SEC title game. They're just a one loss team. They could still get a bye, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm not a huge believer in A&M, and I'm not sure that when the dust settles, they're going to be the three seed.
I just think the one thing I'm taking out of this is if you're Miami or BYU, you're kind of cooked. With the exception of BYU beating Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game, which...
Well, at least BYU has the opportunity.
They have the opportunity.
It's in front of them.
Which, by the way, that'll be really interesting because, like, if you're Alabama, so you're Alabama sitting there at 10 right now, and you're, like, you think Alabama's safe as kittens. But if BYU finds a way to beat Texas Tech, you don't have one, but you probably have two Big 12 teams in there. And that could eliminate, because 12 is automatically going to have to go to one of the, you know, the Tulanes of the world or North Texas. That would be disastrous. Because then at that point, you know, do you keep a 10-2 or I guess it'd be 11-2 Texas Tech team out for losing the title game? No, you wouldn't. Just like you didn't last year with SMU. If you're one of those SEC teams sitting at 10, which is Alabama, and by the way, the college football playoffs, dreaded scenario. You imagine having to put BYU and Texas Tech in over Alabama, but that's essentially what you would have to do if BYU were to find a way to beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game. You could have Texas Tech, BYU, and Tulane, and Alabama or like Notre Dame could find their way.
Well, that kind of happened last year, didn't it?
Yeah, that happened last year.
I mean,
that happened to Alabama.
That's essentially what happened.
Alabama and Miami could get jobbed over twice by the crappy ACC and the crappy Big 12. Which, look, I think it would, I would love to see BYU in there, but the idea that BYU belongs in there over Miami or Alabama is absurd, but that would be a real thing that could happen that could throw a huge monkey wrench. But everyone else in there is basically safe. Georgia's safe, Ohio State's safe, A&M, Indiana, Oregon. Like, even if Oregon loses to UW, fine, you're in. Most of those teams have already punched their ticket at this point. It's just seeding. But I would assume Alabama and Miami are the ones that are sweating this out a little bit to see kind of how this all plays out.
All right, coming up next, Fun with Dan Lanning Audio.
We spin to win.
On the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, we have the Dan Lanning pre-USC clips that have come out via Oregon's social media.
Someone said, for a team that claims to be playing for wins and not a lot of and not clicks, boy, they sure seem to like a lot of clicks.
Yeah. Well, they get them.
They get them. They do a nice job.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Are you fighting for clicks when your coach is just... People want to see Dan Lanning hyping up his team.
Sure.
Like, that's become a thing.
Yeah. And this is who he is.
Exactly. That is what he does, whether they film it or not. So is that fighting for clicks, or is that just...
It's fighting for clicks.
Him being Dan Lanning.
Yeah, but he also... Look, there's a reason why they do this, and it's to get attention, and it's to get clicks, and to build the brand, and they do a really nice job. But make no mistake about it, they do it for they do it for clicks.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think Dan Lanning does it for clicks. I don't think he care. I don't think he could care less. Or wait, is that the right?
Couldn't care
he
less.
He could not care less. It's just they are just really good at capitalizing on content like this. Now, I would say this is the first time that I've had the thought, you know.
Bit much?
Yeah. This one was a bit much to me.
The Trojan funeral?
I'm going to play it for you.
I disagree with you completely, but let's hear it.
The Schnitzelwolf says F you.
Well, the first one is Lanning is in the it's not pregame. It's like when they're at the, when they're in the big theater, you know, and he's given his, it's earlier in the week.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the behind the scenes of these from time to time. And Lanning puts on the big screen the game notes from USC.
Yeah.
And in it, he highlights a couple of things. He said, let's see, highlighted on here, it says, both schools have produced Heisman Trophy winners. USC has 8, Oregon 1. He highlighted that. The Trojans claim 177 All-American first-teamers. The Ducks have 45. There's a lot of USC
history
comparisons to Oregon.
Yeah.
And Dan Lanning, well, he didn't like that.
No.
These teams, they send out notes every single week. Right? And I don't really usually pay much attention to them. But all their notes, they can't keep your name out their mouth. All they're doing is talking about you, and they're talking about all the shit that used to happen. That shit don't happen no more. Oregon is the one that sets the standard. All this shit is just talk. We're gonna show them with our what? Our play. Coach Stein said at the beginning of the week, it's about us. Because of the work that you've done. So don't tell me what you did in 1999. It's 2025. Everybody understand that?
So that was how he got him going early in the week. It's like, you know, USC's touting a lot of stuff, but...
And by the way, USC, really, that is what they do, is USC loves to talk about the
early
2000s.
Well, what do they have? I mean, they're playing Oregon. Like, what are they supposed to... You know, if I'm their SID, and that's who this is, some dork in an office in the football office.
Unknowingly pissing off Dan Lanning.
Exactly. It's like, who brought that to even his attention?
Dan Lanning is the living embodiment of the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally.
At the end of the notes, it says, in the wise words of Vince Vaughn's character from the movie Wedding Crashers, let's go kill some birds. I'm psyched. That is in the USC game notes. So that got back to Lanning. I mean, I assume Lanning does not read the opposing team's game notes. Somebody pointed that out, and he utilized that quite well.
Yeah.
Okay, so here now is the Dan Lanning pregame before they take the field, part of his speech against to his team from oh my god,
you're doing great.
How am I doing?
USC
for the USC game.
Yeah. Composure, laser focus. Win your 1-on-1 matchup. Yeah!
Seniors, okay. This game we're putting on the line for you.
By the way, the first that first guy,
yeah,
was Wilson Love.
Yeah, that's the strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, that was not Lanny.
I love anytime you hear composure.
It's that guy. Their strength and conditioning coach.
Composure, gentlemen. Composure.
Composure! Laser focus! Win your 1-on-1 matchup! Yeah!
Seniors, this game we're all putting on the line for you. It's a DNA game. Connection, toughness, growth, sacrifice. It shows up right here. And in this fight, as they get a little bit tired, we say one more round. After we hit a big play, we say one more round. Right? After they start to bleed, we say one more round. Really simple. For the seniors in this room, you get an opportunity to lay it on the line. They're living off their history. Matt Leinart, he ain't walking through there. Reggie Bush ain't gonna show up. But I'll tell you who he is. Dante Moore's gonna show up. Trice Betcher gonna show up. Pacho gonna show up. Blake Purchase gonna show up. We got the warriors necessary to go walk out there and deliver. Understand something. Why are you wearing black? You're going to a Trojan funeral.
Yeah, see, like, that's the first time I'm like, okay.
Really?
Okay.
That actually got me fired up.
I mean, it's good. He's really good at that. It's just...
I wanted him to keep naming players to see how long he could go before people were like, what?
And then if he left somebody out.
I just wanted to see him, like, could he have got... Because he went, like, 9 guys. Could he have got to, like, 16 before someone was like...
Atticus Zappington's going to show up.
How long is this thing going to go?
And then some guy in the back's like, coach...
am I showing up?
You left me off.
No, you're cut, son. Get out of here.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It really is. Yeah. I like it. But I'm just saying.
The Trojan funeral.
Yeah.
Boom!
And right, it's Leinart, not Leinart. Come on, Lanny.
He's a little young.
I believe it's called Beatheart. Thank you very much.
The cheese factor's a little there, but that's literally what you want out of your head coach. And frankly, after the Mario Cristobal, like, fake tough guy, like, lackluster speeches like that, and Mark Helfrich was more of a rah-rah guy than a, like, get-you-fired-up kind of dude.
Now, to be
fair, same with Willie Taggart. I love this.
To be fair, I think Mario Cristobal is actually a tough guy.
No, I think I think Mario Cristobal is terrifying.
Well, he had to tone it down after that Chris Hudson shootout.
I love Dan Lanning. I promise you, Dan Lanning does not want to get into a tough guy contest with Mario Cristobal.
But wait a minute. I think what Schultz's saying is Mario Cristobal is terrifying, but Dan Lanning is more motivating.
Yes.
And Dan Lanning is really good at that.
Yes, he just is.
It's just that I guess maybe less is more of these because you see them every week.
Yeah.
If you see them every week, and we don't, I don't see them every week. Maybe they are out there every week, but I don't know. It kind of, it's like, okay.
Rob's like, all right.
Here's another. It's like, I mean, he's got to keep doing it every week, and I think it's great that he's able to keep it fresh and different. Yeah. But, you know, the Trojan funeral and...
Look, I'll just say, as someone I have stated this, I have never heard a good pregame speech in my entire life. I've never... It just never was a thing. So I can appreciate the fact that Lanning comes. Every speech Dan Lanning gives would be the best pregame speech that I ever received. So I do appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, for some people, they love that. And I promise you not, there are probably some players that are like, yeah, geez. But for most people, most kids, dude, that's awesome.
I mean, and does he ever take it down a notch or is it
always, right before
they take the field, is it always just like,
rah! Dude, that guy has one speed.
The primal scream.
That dude is the definition of all gas, no brakes.
What if for a big game one day he just walks in and he pulls up a chair and he sits down and he's like, man, you know, it tries a little something that way.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, half the time he comes on our show, he's like raspy and he doesn't have a voice.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, don't get me wrong. Love Dan Lanning. Yeah. I think he's great at what he does. Yeah. I think he's a top 5 coach in the country.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'm like, okay, with the...
that was the one that made you go, really?
That's good.
That one,
The funeral.
The Trojan funeral?
The Trojan funeral and Leinart.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it is.
I don't know, when you kind of stumble...
That doesn't
help you.
Well, I like that he's making fun of USC because, God, USC does the living in the past. I was talking about this today with someone. USC is becoming Nebraska football. They really are. Like, we talk about USC like they're this, again, the sleeping giant. And it's just, I ask at what point, because when I got recruited by USC, and I still should have gone there as a dumbass and went to BYU, that's on me. But when I was getting recruited by USC coming out of high school in the 90s, that was John Robinson, and they were bad. Like, I remember being recruited by them. They were like 6-6. And then they got Paul Hackett, who was terrible.
He sucked.
And then they landed on Pete Carroll. And Pete goes on this generational run. So Pete leaves like 2008, 2009. Do you know since then they've had 4 10-win seasons? It's been like 16 years. They have 4 10-win seasons. Washington, who we can, you know, you say what you will about Washington, whether that's an elite program, is it a top 15 program, is it a top 20? Washington has had 5 10-win seasons, including a national championship game. But we talk about USC like they're this, oh, just wait until USC gets going. And by the way, if we're going to say coaches matter, USC has had Steve Sarkisian, who coaches at Texas. They've had Lane Kiffin, who coaches at Ole Miss and apparently now has the world's greatest, you know, schwanz that everyone wants to be on. And they had Lincoln Riley, who at the time was viewed as a top 3 coach in America. And with that, UW has more 10-win seasons and a national title appearance than USC does. I think in that same time, by the way, I think Oregon has 14 10-win seasons and 2 bursts in national titles and is now going to make 2 college football playoffs. So this idea that USC is this marquee program, no, you're living off of something that happened in the 70s, and you're living off of a 9-year run that Pete Carroll had, which was phenomenal. But before Pete Carroll and after Pete Carroll, even with hammer coaches, USC has been the definition of meh. They're closer to Washington than they are anyone else that's elite. They're Nebraska football.
You're acting like this is some sort of revelation?
USC is...
We've all seen this with USC.
USC is the most overhyped program maybe in the country.
Doesn't everyone know that?
They're just like,
it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, wake up, USC. And like,
well, but they're not. We talked about this yesterday. I don't. How are they going to wake up? Like, what? This was my question yesterday. Is what can USC do to change this around? Because it hasn't worked for 30 years. And so that's the question to me. Yeah. It's like, we see what's going on with, like, Nebraska. Maybe it was just a moment in time with Tom Osborne.
Yeah,
you know, USC. I think the reason why we think they should be so great is because they're in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have championships.
Yeah.
So I think it's that, but what is more amazing is that they can't turn it around.
No.
Like, they're decent, but they just, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my question, is why is it that they can't figure it out?
That I don't know the answer to, but.
Or maybe it's just that USC and Nebraska and, you know, some other programs that we talk about like this, maybe it's just at some point we just have to change how we speak about them.
Well, we should change the way we speak at them. Nebraska, you can talk to, like, bad hires. They've made bad hires, but USC has hired.
Exactly. That's my point.
At least Nebraska, I can point to that, and you can point that it's in Nebraska. I don't know what to make of USC.
Guy that followed Osborne was really good.
Yeah, Frank Solich.
And they fired him.
Yeah.
The guy that is the hottest name in this coaching circle, this coaching carousel, was at USC. You had him.
Yeah.
The Lincoln Riley hire was
lauded
massively as a huge win for USC. And it does. So, I don't know, man. That is a wild one. There's something in the water down there. Maybe it's too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know what it is. They are not rowing the same way, and it shows. And it's like, I don't know. I just think that's pretty obvious to everyone, isn't it?
How many times can you bring up the sanctions? I get what happened to you was terrible because it was unfair, but it was 20 years ago. Like, move on. I no longer view USC as, like, a big time. It's just not a big time program. They're the definition of meh. And Washington has been better. And I don't view Washington as an elite job. I view it as a very good job. And that's where I view USC.
Well, Oregon's been a lot better.
Yes.
I mean,
it's not even close.
There's so many programs that have been better than USC.
Yes. You like when people try to clump USC in with Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and places like that. I just, why? What have you done? And with the exception of Pete Carroll, what did you do before that? Unless we want to go all the way back into the 70s. But
the yeah, juice.
Yeah, it's just this notion that USC has always been that way. And I'm like, no, it hasn't.
I think some people hold on to those old like recruiting pipelines. Like USC, before Oregon, you know, came to prominence, before Washington got good, they were the ones beating UCLA for all of those really good Southern California commits. Now, once Oregon starts pissing in their pot a little bit, once Washington starts getting some of those guys, I mean, on top of your program just kind of going down as far as like overall eliteness, that you're just not getting the same type of guys. You had them at your door, now you just don't.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe being in LA, just the evolution of college football has hurt USC more than any other school.
It's possible.
Because if you think about where all the athletes come from, Ohio is just so much smaller than California, and it has so many kids right in Ohio State's backyard. All the Florida schools, so many kids in their backyard. All the Southern schools, really. Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, right? We've done this a million times.
Sure.
We've been on the air long enough. We were on the air before it was NIL, and it was always, look at Alabama's roster. They're all from freaking Alabama.
Yeah.
They don't even have to go outside of their state. Well, now, as college football has evolved and recruiting has become so national, they are not keeping their kids. They have a bunch of kids down there, but they're not keeping them.
No.
And that...
Oh, we went through one year, like a couple years ago, and like the best players and like quarterbacks, they're all from California, just none of them were
USC.
Left.
So that right there, you just wonder if maybe the way college football has evolved, if you want to name the schools that have been hurt most by the evolution of college football, USC and UCLA, to some extent, might be right at the top of that list.
Yeah.
Nebraska wouldn't fall into that because they were already out in no man's land. I mean, Tom Osborne, he famously said, what did he say, like a 300-mile radius around the campus. But you can't, I mean, I would argue that Nebraska has less of an excuse than USC over time because recruiting has become so national. You should be able to go pick more kids off from elsewhere and get them up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas LA, you've just got more competition for your players than ever before.
Oh, dude, if you want to look at, just Google Oregon Duck football players from California.
Well, Oregon kind of started it, right?
Yeah,
they kind of started the pilfering of Southern California.
Yep.
And then you factor in just the fact that, because like if you're talking about what schools benefited the most from the evolution of college football, it's Oregon.
Yep.
Because there are no players up here.
No.
But what they've been able to do is recruit nationally, and they understood that you had to recruit nationally and you had to go into Southern California. Because I remember, God dang, we're old, but I remember the days when it's like, oh, you ain't going in there and getting that kid.
Nope.
You might as well not even try.
Yep.
Well, now they're thinking about Oregon, not USC,
yep,
those kids, when they're growing up in high school down there.
Oh, man,
so it's just the thing has shifted. This thing has shifted so much. These programs, the way we talk about them, it should just blank slate everything.
Yeah.
Because the Blue Bloods aren't all the Blue Bloods anymore. And you have schools like Oregon who are absolutely a new age Blue Blood.
Yeah.
You know, and there are others. So I don't know. I don't know why we, I guess it's just the tradition of college football, why we continue to talk about some schools the way we do, but it's just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the same game.
No. And you're right. Just the idea that you can keep a fence around California anymore is dead and gone. The most players in college football come from Texas, Florida, and California, and it's open season for all of them.
So Texas schools have no excuse.
No.
I don't think Florida schools have much of an excuse.
They don't.
Although you could put them in the category of Southern California schools in that, you know, it's harder to keep them down there when more schools are recruiting nationally.
And the problem with, and the thing that USC always had is there wasn't another really prominent California school. USC was so much better than everyone else. And then Oregon and Washington came along and started like nicking some kids off. But there's really, when you're USC, you have that entire state that if you grew up and you wanted to play big time football, it was USC. But if you grew up in Florida or Texas, there are way more, like Florida would be the hardest because you've got Miami, Florida State,
right.
Florida. I mean, there's massive programs, multiple in that state. Same thing in Texas, right? You got Texas, you got Texas A&M, right? Just a to the border of there, you still have LSU. So California, the one advantage they had was when it was more regional, it was USC and really nothing else forever, right? Colorado was nothing. Arizona was nothing. Oregon was nothing. Washington was a little bit. Some of those great Washington dog teams were California kids. But your closest big rival was two states away and a long distance from Southern California, whereas the rest of those, you were more jam-packed. I mean, think Alabama and Auburn in the state of Alabama
exactly.
had to fight for those kids. But now with USC, the world has gotten so much, I guess, bigger, and it's harder and harder to simply say, now, hey, you grew up in Southern California, you want to come play at USC. Those kids, because I talked to Nemec about this, kids today that are 16, 17 years old, they are not growing up dreaming of the USC
Trojans.
Well, that's
what I just said. Yeah. I mean, all of that is what I just said, and that's why I think USC is just... I was racking my brain. I can't think of another school that's been hurt more by the way college football has evolved
than
USC.
Yep.
All right, landing on Washington coming up next, and fun with other sports audio. But first, here's Schultz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got some more audio here.
Sports audio!
Why did I say it like that? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Here's Dan Lanning. He has turned the page. No more Trojan funeral talk.
No. We got Husky Hate Week.
Yes. He has spoken about the UW rivalry, and here's what he said at his press conference.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of the same messaging from that standpoint of go out there and do your job is the best way you can control. And I know that our guys are going to be a high level of emotion in this game. They're going to have that. But it's definitely an important rivalry to us. This game means a lot. It's probably the number one question I get asked when I'm out on the road with donors and support groups and talking about our university is about this game. It's one that I struggled with early on when I was here, you know, to start. They had some success against us, so it means a lot to me. It's one that I want to have success in, and they're well coached. I mean, Jed does a good job. They have good players. They've done a really good job in talent evaluation. Their quarterback's playing as well as anybody right now. Got good wideouts, got good back. I know they've been a little banged up. It sounds like they're getting healthy, similar to us. You know, we've been banged up. So ultimately, though, you see a complete team, you know, and then two fan bases that don't like each other, which makes it fun.
Hell yeah, it makes it fun.
Yeah, acknowledge it. I mean, for UW, and I know Oregon is some Oregon fan believes that they've moved past this, which is absurd, considering that a couple years ago they beat you three times and, you know, played for a national title. This is by far, no offense to Oregon State, but this is by far the biggest rival that Oregon has.
Here's a little Tez Johnson. This is not from this year, of course, but because he's now with the Bucks. But I just wanted to play this to kind of
a little taste.
wet your little sports beak.
Washington is Washington. I hate them. So, I mean, what more can I say is I hate Washington. I hate them. Like I said, we hate them. And we try to put up basketball numbers. So they did it before. Why not us? So. Nah, I can't. I literally cannot stand them. I was watching film and just seeing a W on the I cringed every time. So I hate them. I just like I don't know what else y'all want me to say. I hate you, Dub. I just talk about them just get me mad. I want to go out there and play them some more, like type of thing.
Where is he from?
Tez, I think he's down and he's an Alabama kid.
Was he?
Yeah. Remember that was the whole.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You didn't know that he was brothers with Bo Nix.
Oh, that's right.
And then he went to Troy. Which is also in Alabama, and then he transferred out to Oregon and all that, you know, that stuff.
Well, he hates him.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, hatred is good in these rival games like this. Now, I was hoping that UW wasn't going to crap the bed. I can't believe they lost to Wisconsin, because had they not, we would have a top 15 matchup with potentially a college football spot on the line. Now, I think Oregon, you know, win or lose to this is going to be fine. But UW would have been playing for something. Now you're just playing spoiler. And again, a lot of it depends on who's healthy for UW. They've been beat up, as Coach Lanning said there. But I've said all along, I think this is the tougher test than USC. Washington, for all of the talk of Washington's offense, which when it's clicking, it's great. When it's not, they can just go through periods, see, you know, halves against Maryland, Rutgers, an entire game against Wisconsin. Against Michigan, Damon Williams was maybe the worst game I've seen all year from a talented quarterback. But when it's working, I think the last 3 weeks they put up 40-plus points. When Jonah Coleman's healthy, when Denzel Boston, when Damon Williams isn't playing out of structure, this offense is scary good. I think it's as good as USC's offense. And USC's defense is not as good as UW, depending on what metric you want to look at, but by all metrics, they're better than USC. And by some, UW is a top seven-ish. It's usually somewhere between fifth and ninth, depending on what you want to look in Big Ten defenses. So Washington's defense in their losses has held them in. There was a 7-point game against Ohio State. I think they only gave up 24 against them. Michigan, they were in that game despite their offense doing absolutely nothing. Their other loss to Wisconsin, like I said, I think it was 13-10. So UW's defense, especially if Oregon's offense is banged up, and we'll see what happens with their offensive line and receivers, but this may be a defense that could hold Oregon maybe into the mid-20s. And if you hold them into the mid-20s and your offense shows up, we may get more of a USC-type game, but with a little more backbone. And it's on the road, not at home. Don't know what the weather is going to be like. The rivalry game, I've said all along, I think this is a bigger test for Oregon than USC was. It's just not being hyped that, because we now have a 3-loss UW as opposed to a 2-loss USC.
I heard somebody say that they think the better quarterback in this game is at Washington, not Oregon, which is interesting.
Well,
it could be. You could make that case
when it's cooking. It is, but he goes through stretches that are just maddening, and he's a little. Oh, he's got a little Kyler Murray in him, in that, or even Bryce Young. He improvises, and when it works, it's like so frustrating, because he can kill you with his arms and his legs, but also he's prone to take horrible sacks and really try to make a play on every ball that should just be turfed or thrown away. So it's kind of feast or famine with Damon Williams.
Well, I don't know. These are always very dangerous games.
Yes.
And I think it's very different than the USC setup. Although I would say that, you know, I didn't trust USC and I don't trust Washington. That said, you know, this is a scary one. Like you say, the Witches of November, yep. Rivalry game on the road. Weird things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do not trust Jed Fish at all. I don't know about the point spread, which is like 6.5.
Yeah.
But I think Oregon gets out of
there. Well, and I also think it says something. The USC spread was 9.5 or 10. This is a smaller spread. And by the way, it's coming down. So just keep an eye on this. The Joey patented worry index meter, I think you should be more concerned about this than you were USC.
We have, well, he was concerned about USC.
Yeah.
And we will find out tomorrow from Joey how concerned he is about Washington because he is coming on our show early.
Yes.
Seeing as how we don't have a show on Friday. Yeah. So
be hard to be on the show on Friday.
So Joey will be on tomorrow. I'm guessing 5:30, but we'll have to let you know.
Yeah.
I have more audio. More! Sports audio. You're going to hear a raging broadcaster, Shedeur Sanders, and someone who thinks Chauncey Billups is going to walk.
Yes. Well, he's a man of integrity.
So that's coming up next on The Fan. Okay, let's wrap up the hour with some fun sports audio, okay? All right, Jace?
Let's do it.
I've got a couple things for you. I've got a legal expert guy.
Yeah.
Who is claiming that Chance has a pretty good case here.
Okay.
Against the feds. So let's listen to that first. This guy's name, he's from CNN. Mm-hmm. His name is Eli Hong.
Fake news,
the
CNN.
The bigger stakes are with the fraud part of this case, right? You just showed the technology that was used to steal from unwitting card players. That's harder to prove. I don't see smoking guns on that, including with respect to Chauncey Billups. Doesn't mean prosecutors have no case at all, but I don't see texts or emails involving Chauncey Billups that shows that, sure, he knew he was at a poker game, but that he knew about the games being rigged.
Okay, dude, whatever. So the feds spent, I'm supposed to believe that the feds spent, what, 5 years investigating this?
Well, I guess I don't know how he's seen all the, like, how does that guy have all the evidence?
I don't know.
He hasn't seen text. Yeah, guess what, Eli? I haven't seen text messages either.
So I just, we'll
But
we'll
maybe
see.
He's seen stuff and he's like, the feds don't have a case against Chance.
I love
It would
that-
not surprise me to see him walk.
It would surprise me greatly. I just love the idea that Chauncey, I was at these poker games. I had no idea they were fixed. Yeah. Chauncey was just an innocent pawn in this whole thing.
Well, okay. I mean, we all believe that, but you got to prove it.
Yeah, we'll
see. That's what that guy's saying is he doesn't see the evidence. But I just don't understand how he has access to all the evidence, but maybe he does. I don't know.
What is the federal prosecutor's conviction rate is like 98%.
Pretty up there.
So, I mean, you may not get him on every single charge. That's like the whole Diddy thing. Diddy is spending years in prison. So there's this idea that like celebrities get off. He's obviously going to have a phenomenal legal team and they'll fight it and maybe they plea or not. But when the FBI shows up at your door at 5 a.m. and arrest you, this idea that the feds like, I don't know, their case is a little weak. Sorry, CNN guy. I don't
Eli,
I don't necessarily believe that you are the legal expert on this.
Well, he is the legal expert, actually.
Is he?
That's what they say he is, Mr. Hong.
Yeah.
I trust Big Sook with legal.
Don't matters. Trust me on anything. I just know when the feds arrest you and make a big deal and put a press conference out, they usually put a lot of resources and backing into that. I don't want to take on the federal government.
You see, well, yeah, I wouldn't want to take on the feds either because, well, for a lot of reasons, but,
yeah.
You know, they, I don't know. I think a lot of people are skeptical because of the NCAA basketball bloviation that
That's
they had.
True. Yeah.
You know, like they've come out a lot and said, oh, we got you.
Most of those guys weren't arrested, though.
No, I know. Come on. You can't. You may be right. You may be wrong. I don't know. What I do know is I think it's silly to be skeptical of someone who is skeptical of anything the feds are doing at the moment.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Of course people are skeptical of that because there's witch hunts going on all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other guy, who's that guy? Comey or something? The big tall guy?
James Comey?
Yeah, he's off now.
They were
going after him and we got this guy. We're going to put it. That case has just been thrown out. So, you know, the feds, I don't know. Again, people that are on the side of, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with the feds. I totally get where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Here is an announcer. Now, this guy, he is the basketball radio guy for Creighton.
Okay.
And Creighton is having a little bit of a rough start. They are 3-3. They were supposed to be good, but Gonzaga kicked the living S out of them.
Yeah, I watched that game. My buddy's a Gonzaga guy, and that was like a top 25 matchup, and they just got shillelied.
Yeah, the Iowa State Cyclones beat them by 18 today. And yesterday, I think they're in Vegas too, they lost to Baylor. And at the end of that game, the announcer short-circuited.
Shot clock. Carr into the paint. Missed the dunk.
And a fucking foul? What are you talking about?
That was 2 seconds after the play ended.
Carr driving. He's outside the circle. He's outside the circle and he's set.
He was outside
the circle and he was set. Brett Smith blew it. He was outside the restricted area. He was straight up and down. He was set like the statue sitting out in front of New York, New York, and they called that. That's an absolutely horse crap call. In a game that's been played out like this. Unbelievable bailout call by an incompetent referee. And ball don't lie.
Hey, is Softy doing play-by-play now?
That did sound like Softy.
God.
Yeah, that guy. And he kept doubling down. I loved it.
Yeah, he's... Boy,
and still is the statue out in front of New York, New York.
Was he outside the circle? Anybody? Do we know?
Sounds like it.
Good grief.
And finally...
I wish I had that kind of passion. I lack it. I need some more of that in my life.
I'm wondering what you think of what Shedeur Sanders is trying to tell us here.
Okay.
Because he, of Cleveland Browns fame...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there are a lot of clips of him circulating.
Yeah. And some of it's cherry picky and other stuff is fair. And he's just such a polarizing figure.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything one way or the other. Yeah. I just don't really understand what he's trying to say here. Yeah. And I'm wondering if you can be my Shedeur Sanders translator.
Sure. I'll see what I
can. Everybody could analyze. Everybody could say everything from sideline. You could watch TV, everything. You could be, you could talk on TV, whatever you want to do. But until you get out there and you do it, then it's different. Going out there, you know, with, you know, only practicing with the Hungry Dogs and everything, like, that's different. You know, it's a lot of vet quarterbacks, you know, that had their time and everything that were backups and was able to get thrown in the game and be all right. But I don't think that's like that in their rookie year. That's a difference, you know? Like, that's different. And I'm thankful for that experience because that helped me get to where I am today. That helped me go into the game very comfortable, knowing that they got a great defense with the Ravens, knowing the different looks, how they could be confusing to the naked eye. But that's why during the game I was smiling so much, because I'm like, oh yeah, if this what it is, I know I'm gonna be able to accept that challenge and move forward one day and be able to have success. So that's the mentality I went with going and prepping for this week.
I think what he's, but that's a whole thing. I love how, I believe that the idea is that it was so bad against the Ravens.
Uh-huh, because that was his first.
That was his first game, and it was god-awful. And the thing he's saying is a lot of vets had to take their lumps, and then they end up being good. He had to take his lumps as a rookie, got his ass kicked, and therefore, because of that, he knew that it was going to lead to this great success. But... like, you're literally saying, like, 16 snaps led to what you did against the Raiders. Which, by the way, I hope the kid ends up being good. But, like, he was 11 of 20 with a pick, should have thrown another one, and just some horrific throws. And yet we're still somehow trying to make it out like he's, like, a guaranteed success. Just let the kid play and see what happens. He's got 7 games left. Let him see what he does here. But he does himself no favors. He really doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying there, but it was word salad, and I didn't understand what he was saying.
Well, but I say the same thing. Like, J.J. McCarthy did himself no favors with the 9 and the stare-down crap. It doesn't do any good to come in with whatever this sort of... There's a fine line between bravado and stupidity, and, boy, when you have bravado, you better be really, really, really good.
Try it again, please.
Well, we have a twist in the case of the missing football coach.
Yeah, not a good one.
And RIP, Grandma. Mm. Coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.